Omagyanantananda Shagyan Salaka Chakshur Mitham Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutadeh Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shundavari Pashyate Satsarine Jai Sri Bhavad Ki Jai. So Hare Krishna, thank you for allowing me to speak here. Tonight we was asked to speak about deity worship. So your permission and blessings, I may say something. reading Nectar of Devotion, the 64 activities for the Vaishnavas, the more than half of them are concerning the temple worship. So deity worship is a very big part of our culture. And it is recommended, especially for the householders. Deity worship is recommended. And we're following what we follow in our temples is a mixture of Vedic and Tantric. It's called Pancharatrika. So with the Pancharatrika Vidhi, which has there's a lot of instructions. Krishna has given instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam on deity worship. Narada Muni has his works on deity worship, Pancharatra. And Lord Chaitanya, he instructed the Goswamis to write literature, so specifically Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is for the behavior, culture of the Vaishnava devotees. So you see, the very, very great part of our culture is centered around the deity. Although the process of the essential process of Krishna consciousness in this particular time is the Nam Sankirtan. But these other different limbs of devotional service, like these nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu Smaranam, etc., Archanam, is one of those nine processes. So they're a very good means, assist us in the main aspect of chanting. We can't just sit down and chant all day long, most of us. There is some activity. Deity worship is very good way of becoming Krishna conscious, because you're directly dealing with the form of the Lord. That we go to the temple, we have a deity in our house. But if we go to the temple, then we can take darshan of the Lord. Then when you leave the temple any time during the day, you can meditate on that form of the Lord, how the Lord is dressed today. Even from his lotus feet, his ankle bells, and his dhoti or his cloth, what color, and the belts, and the upper garments, chadars, and different ornaments to his beautiful face, with hair, and different crowns or turbans on his head. So it can be a meditation. Generally, everyone has an Ishtadeva, a favorite deity. You can meditate on that deity also. So like I said, I think about 34 of those items are concerning the deity and deity worship. We We can directly see the form of the Lord, Govinda, Shamchanda, Nitai Gaur, Jagannath, and remember their pastimes, their qualities, and their names. So, basically, the deity worship requires is three things: how to wake the deity, how to bathe and dress the deity, and how to feed the deity, and how to offer aarti to the deity, and how to put the deity to rest. They're the basic requirements. In Mayapur, we started a school for teaching puja. We have a 4-month course from November through to March, Gaur Purnima. There we have a large facility, about 4 big rooms, quite big rooms, large rooms, a library. They were teaching all the aspects, very detailed worship of Krishna. We have lots of busts of deity, Radha Krishna busts, just made in fiberglass, as well as full models. We have Radha Krishna, Gauranitai, Krishna Balaram, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. There the devotees can practice dressing, making turbans. And then we have our main people in that field to judge and help the devotees. So we have a couple of days basic talking about different aspects of the dressing, like design, balance, color, symmetry and rhythm, all things like that. And then they actually start practice. There's a lot of practical work there. And also for the archan, we have small deities, small Gaur-Nitai deities. We have half a dozen or so sets. Where the devotees can actually, then they see the process being done. Then they also practice. They can also practice how to recite the preliminary activities before we enter the deity room. How we worship Guru, take his blessings. That we're going to worship the Lord. We're trying to emphasize, we were given a lot of practical training, but we're trying to emphasize that the deity is a person, that we have to see that you're actually dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And also, the job for the pujaris is to bring out Krishna's personality for the pilgrims, the public, the devotees that come to the temple. So we want Krishna to look as wonderful as possible, so the devotees become enthused. That is the job of the pujari. But also inside, we also must be very careful, very attentive to following all the rules, that he is a person. So we're emphasizing, that's what we're emphasizing in quite great detail, that we're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's also for the pujaris, it's a very good opportunity to become Krishna conscious, because you're actually dealing directly with the form of the Lord, learning how to wake the deity, bathe the deity, dress the deity, serve the deity, and all those different aspects. And Srila Prabhupada said a little while before he left his body, out of context, he said the pujari is so fortunate, so very, very fortunate. And he said after you leave this body, you go to an intermediate birth in Braj Bhumi Vrindavan, where Krishna is appearing somewhere in the universe, and that's like the finishing school. Then you go back to Godhead. You learn. said about the pujari, he can go straight back. By that, he doesn't mean that, you know, it means that a pujari, it means who knows everything about Krishna, how Krishna likes to eat, what he likes to eat, how he likes to dress, what his mentality is. So if you learn all those things about Krishna, that's what the next birth is supposed to be, to get that, develop that, to understand how to deal with Krishna. In other words, if Krishna walks in the temple right now, then what are we going to do? If Krishna suddenly walks in here, then a lot of us may not know what to do, but the pujari would know the different steps, how to receive and respect and worship him properly. Like that, Srila Prabhupada meant that. We also have cooking classes to teach a simple Rajbhog. We have about 12 burners, and we teach like two people on each, like 20 students at a time. Teach us a simple Rajbhog, rice, some rice, different rice, sabjis, rice, chapatis, dals, and sweet rice, and milk sweets, etc. And also dress making, and this homa, the basic homa, how to light a fire and perform a simple fire sacrifice for the men. For the ladies, they learn dress making. We make dresses in Mayapur, so we have experts there, and they come and teach the basic things for the ladies. Although some of the ladies want to learn the homa, the fire sacrifice. A little controversial, but they're already doing it anyway in many places, but generally, traditionally it's not done. But the thing about this, because we have our own big facility, then they can come and practice any time, after class time, on the holidays, and any time they want. And then for the assessment, then they have to sit down, say they're doing the archan, they have to sit down. We're teaching this 16 basic items of worship, which is a kind of standard in the different sampradayas. They all offer these, like 16 basic upachars. even the smartas and the shaktas, as well as the Vaishnavas, they all follow this system. It means the basic 16s, you're offering a seat to the Lord, you're offering welcome, sagatam, you're washing his feet, you're offering argya, you're offering archman, then madhupaka, then a porna archman, then there's a bath, then you're offering a dress to the Lord, then ornaments, then sandalwood, then flowers, then incense and a lamp, then boga, something to eat, and then you're offering pranams and prayers. That's the basic 16 upachars that we're teaching, which is not difficult to do. And we even simplify the procedure how to do it. We're hoping that can be accepted in most temples, because there's no fixed standard in ISKCON of deity worship. So the Deity worship minister, the Sringa Kavacha. Prabhu travels around extensively, and of course you can't expect every temple to be the same, and it's not going to be the same, because some temples are very small, they only have two pujaris or something, and you can't expect them to do what a large temple, where it has 10 pujaris or 20 pujaris, may be doing. So, but at least some trying to standardize the procedure as far as possible. And so at the end of the, so they have a long time to practice, because it's a 4-month course. They have some homework. We do teach other things also, like Vaishnavetika, Brahminical culture, a few other subjects, vase making, flower arranging. And there's some homework, and then the assessment comes right at the end, and then the assessment means they sit down and they do the puja, and all the other students sit round and assess them. They have a sheet with all the proper procedure and the proper mantras. And one teacher's there. We generally break up in groups, so there may be half a dozen, five, four or five, six students and one teacher, because we have lots of pujaris there. Then the students know that they're going to be assessed like this, and so they got to sit down in the middle of the other students and go through the whole procedure. So they really do their homework, and then everyone does really good like that system. Everyone does really good, because then there's a feedback, question and answers. Everyone has to offer some, make some comment, say something, and there's some response with them. So everyone, you're learning from them, from that, what they do, also from their mistakes. I like this. So we have a very good success result, because it's quite a long course, and they have plenty of time to practice and lots of facility there. So that's what we're doing now in Mayapur, called the Mayapur Academy. So then, and for the home worship, then it's a little more simple in the house. The deity in the house is Pratip Pavan. He's coming to your house. So therefore, the standards are not going. He's not demanding such a high standard. See, in the temple, we all walk around their schedule. When Kalachandji gets up, when it's time to get up, we have to be up and ready before him to wake him up and when it prepare the things that he wants to eat. And have the darshan at the time, the fixed time. So everything revolves around his schedule. But in the house, then the deity, he moves around your schedule. When you get up, he gets up. When you cook, he eats. It's like that. What you eat, he eats. So there's a different kind of mood there. But Sanatana Goswami recommends that all the householders should have a deity. Srila Prabhupada said, if you're living close to the temple, then it's not necessary. It's convenient to come to the temple, then it's not necessary to have deities in your heart, or at least worship deities like that in the home, at the expense of not coming to the temple. If you're living too far away, then it's advisable. So it shouldn't. He didn't like it that the devotees in the house sacrifice the temple program for their own program if they live close to the temple. But it is recommended for the householders that they should have. That would purify purify the existence of the householders, because they're out, in the material world. You're out there getting business, and as Srila Prabhupada said, you can't. It's difficult to be honest in business nowadays. But the deity there, deity's in the house, and then your house, your life becomes more regulated with the deity. The deity becomes the center of that. You get up because you have to wake the deity up. You can make a little sankalpa, you tell the deity what to expect, and you should try to maintain that standard. Krishna will wake up, will wake you up at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you get up, and we'll offer you a glass of water and a sandesh or an apple or whatever it is, and some incense, something like that. But you try to maintain that standard. So then you can increase on that standard, but you should at least try to maintain that standard, and that then your life becomes more regulated, because it's Sunday, you don't work, you don't want to get up, it's winter time, but Krishna has to get up, so then you'll get up and do it anyway, and then he gradually becomes the center of the house. Otherwise, if he's not the center, then it's a competition between you and your spouse, who's going to be the master of the house. Better you come to agreement that let Krishna be the boss here, and then we both cooperate to fulfill his desire. So this way you can keep your existence actually becomes purified. That means you're going to offer what you cook. That means you can only offer pure foods, whatever Krishna likes. You can be very clean, because Krishna likes these things prepared nicely. So then you gradually start to develop, more in the mode of goodness, lifestyle. Then that gradually extends from the deity room, the kitchen, and gradually extends throughout your whole household, and then it gradually into your whole lifestyle. So this is the advantage of deity worship, that you can develop the mode of goodness very easily. And and you've got the deity there, you've got the form of the deity, you can have your kirtans, your bhajans and classes and darshan. It's a center for social activities, festivals, etc. So I suppose, because everyone has deities in the house everywhere I go. So maybe we should just, if you want to ask some questions about the different aspects of deity worship, maybe that would be appropriate now. Then I'll say something that you want to hear. I don't mind. If you want to ask, because I guess most of the people here are not pujaris, and most of them have deities in their own house. So if you want a cross section, the pujaris can ask questions. They put a temple standing, and the householders can also ask questions.
This is our head pujari, Bhadra Chakravali.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I'm just trying to facilitate her a little.
Okay. Congratulations, you are the chief servant of Kalkandidi. Lucky.
I actually understood what you were saying. This is an open forum. Questions for deity worship on the altar and deity worship at home.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. So anyone can ask a question.
Someone has to start.
Okay. I have a question from Darya. Darya is on the altar right now. So anyone can start, I'll start. I just want to know, this is still the official deity worship.
It's still the official deity, but it's being edited. Nrsimha Kavachai is editing it because that's a terrible index. No discredit to the index here, but it's very difficult book to understand. There's two books. You have to refer to one another, and it's not presented very simply. A lot of the information there, but it's not a simple book to read, and some people get discouraged because the way Srila Prabhupada did the whole explanation of the 64 items of worship. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he mentions, then Srila Prabhupada says, first you offer the deity a seat, then you're welcome, then foot wash, then like this. He just goes one through to 64. This is how Jananamas wanted to start with that book, just to let the people, this is what we have to do. It's not so complicated. Then you can put all the mantras and the mudras or whatever you want. That can follow if you want to do those things. First, let them see the basic thing. It's not a difficult thing to do. But anyway, this is what come up because he was just one member of the puja committee. But like I say, we are trying to simplify that book also, because a lot of temples, they're not maintaining that standard. So what's the use in increasing? We should modify that. Something more practical. So we're trying to simplify. And Srila Prabhupada did instruct Jananamas to keep the worship simple. So we're trying to simplify it. And probably next year there will be a new, he'll come out with a revised edition, which will be.
I was interested in that because we have been planning for several years since this book came out, and it was totally impossible for us to implement all of these standards. So we would pick and choose the ones that we could fit into the time span, and then establish
And it's not a big thing. We're stressing 16 upachars, which is very simple. There's actually 64 things you can do for the deity during the day. They're not, you know, but you know, things like asan, sagatam, these, you know, achaman, these are upachars. So most of them you're doing, a lot of them you do them anyway. Just in you just don't know what they are, or you know, but most of them are being done anyway. I think we're doing almost all of them in Mayapur, except I think there's one that you take the deity in the morning and put them in the morning sun. There's one, or put them on a palki, something like that. One or two that we don't actually do, but most of them you're just doing as a matter of course throughout the whole day. But if it's presented simply, then you can understand it. It's not such a difficult thing.
Thank you.
Probably next year.
This is a question from Dharma Prabhu, who's on the altar. And
Shakti, so it's like, she wasn't even saying anything when it took
place. Well, this question is, how can we improve our deity worship in these areas? And it's got the A, B, C, D, and E part to it. So it's quite a lengthy question in one sense. So I'm wondering if I could just ask part A and then just hand you the paper and let you talk to him personally. It may be easier that way. Hare Krishna. Okay. How can we improve our deity worship in these areas? Part A is being on time. Example, finish dressing on time, opening the curtain on time, etc.
That open on time, well, I feel a little guilty about speaking about punctuality, but they call me unpunctual jungri sometimes. But it's a question of actually pacing yourself. You see that if as long as however much time you've got, it's not enough time. So if you have an hour and a half, you'll need an hour and 35 minutes. But if it's an hour and 50 minutes, you'll need an hour and 20 minutes. And if it's an hour and hour, then you'll need an hour and extra 5 minutes. So it's just a question of pacing yourself. Whatever time you have, you stretch. But that's up to the head pujari or the managers. I know we had one of the manager in Mayapur. He would open the curtains from the outside. He would just, when it was time, he'd say, okay, open up. He would just come up and open, draw the curtains. Then, you know, they do that once or twice, and then you see the pujaris, they won't be late anymore. But don't televise this one. Don't put this one on the website. it's just a question of, because so Prabhupada said that the two most important things are cleanliness and punctuality. No, we're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's His time. And there's no actual reason to be, unless you're really short of pujaris. There's no, you just have to pace yourself, that's all. you see how long it takes you to do the preliminaries? What can be done outside before you go in the deity room. Maybe that's one thing. The worship should be done. You should be in and out as soon as possible. You should do things quickly, not hurriedly, but carefully. But you should do, just like you have a servant, your own a servant who comes in your room. Now you don't want them doing all kinds, you just want them to do what they have to do and go. So like that. Pujari should be like that. Therefore, you do all the things that can be done outside, like archaman, paying your obeisances. All those things can be done outside. And even the preliminary worship, like before we go, we worship Guru. We teach in that we should actually go through Guru. So therefore, we worship Guru with five or 16, however you want to worship the Guru. But you can do that outside before the puja starts, you know, before the... right after the Mangalarati, if you like, even you can just do that outside and worship the Guru, take his blessings to go in and worship the deity. So whatever you can do, the night before, you could get the clothes ready, or during Mangal Arati, if it's difficult, then you have to sacrifice something. So as much as possible, you can do everything before the deity's curtains close. Then you can immediately go in and close. And then it's just a question of pacing yourself. You know how much time you have to undress a deity, to bathe the deity, to put the clothes on, and you just stick to that. And then clean up the altar, put everything back. That's the head pujaris should be there and tell everyone you finish. Either you tell them to finish, you tell everyone to finish 10 minutes before the actual time, and then they'll pace themselves like that. It's just a question of pacing yourselves. However much time you've got, you always want more. So if you say everyone has to be finished 10 minutes before they open, eventually they'll do it. Or even 15 minutes before, or even half an hour. You can do it. So that's the job of the head pujari. Just remember, when we open late, then if there's 100 people out there and you're 6 minutes late, how many hours have lost? Because you can see it like that. And devotees are waiting. And they expect, they expect to see. They don't know what you're doing inside. So all that time you're spending and all those, or you may be doing so many procedures, so many rituals, so many mantras, you may be doing everything perfectly. When we open up, all they see is how the deity's looking. They look to see it's nice and clean, neat and attractive. That's your actual job. The darshan is the main thing for the pilgrims. They don't know what we do inside. Like if you go in South India, it's all archan in the morning. The first that you're after Mangal Arati, they have maybe many temples like Sarva Darshan. It's even at 11 o'clock sometimes. So when they open the curtains, the deity's got a white chadar and a dhoti and one garland. So what are they doing for that 4 hours? So they're doing so many rituals, so many mantras, because that generally those temples from the Sri Sampradaya, they're still doing the procedures from the previous yuga, which was archan, so it was very elaborate. But when you open up, you see something very simple, right? Deity, and he's got his white dhoti, and Lakshmi has a sari. But here we're famous, ISKCON, we're famous for our gorgeous darshans. Beautiful dresses, ornate dresses, flowers, everything. Everything very gorgeous. Prabhupada was very proud. And we've actually raised the standard in India, in many temples. In Vrindavan, in Mayapur, when we went to Mayapur first, there was all deities like that, the white chadar, white dhoti and a paper garland. Now they're very opulent also. So we're actually raising this. We're famous for our darshan. The deities look so gorgeous. So that's what everyone else sees outside. So cleanliness and punctuality. So try to open up somehow or other. If you can't do it, then you should ask the management for more help.
Which item is more important,
punctuality
or cleanliness?
It seems Prabhupada always use those two together, cleanliness and punctuality.
Of the two, is there one?
I wouldn't like to say, but he seemed to always use both, but often Prabhupada, not necessarily in deity worship, but he did often stress cleanliness is next to godliness. They're both important. If you're open on time and the things are dirty, then it wouldn't be pleasing. Sorry?
Okay. How do we know when our dressing or worship is for the Lord or our false ego?
False ego doesn't go really until you establish your relationship with the Lord. So that's the last thing that goes. So there'll always be some trace. But not much. The devotees are going, it means the person's Brahman initiated, they're serious, they want to make Krishna look nice. I don't think that's much of an issue for the pujaris, that you know, I'm going to make Krishna look nice so I will be recognized for my good qualities or something like that. I don't think that's a real issue. And false ego must be there until we're pure unalloyed devotees. But we think we're the doers. But I don't think that's a major thing.
I'll ask one more so we can defer to other devotees, and I'll let Dharma Prabhu take up the rest of his questions with you, because his questions are quite lengthy and actually very, very intricate. So the third question is, if we don't preach, will we become offensive to the deities?
No, you're addressing, that is your preaching. That is the pujari's preaching. Your preaching should be that the deity should look so gorgeous that when people come in, they will faint. That's preaching. The devotees become enlivened by seeing the deities. They become enlivened. We have these festivals around the deities. Everyone becomes enlivened. So that's your job, to make the deities look gorgeous, to be clean, to be lots of flowers, fresh, you know, vibrant. Should be like that. So that will enthuse the devotees. That is our preaching for the pujaris. But also, part of deity worship means, one of the 64 items also, that one should come before the deity. It's not you finish the service, now you go. You know, he says you should come before the deity, stand before the deity, offer different prayers and sutras and kirtan, and speak to the guests that come in about the glories of the deity. So it's also recommended that as part of it, you know, directly preaching to people about the glories of the people, of the deity. You can tell the Mahatma, the deity, how he come, and all those pastimes like that.
Is there any documentation or something standard documents for deity worship in ISKCON or things like that? Like, so say small things, like chanting your Gayatri before deity worship or after deity worship, or is it like it's one of the three Gayatris, or is it extra, or how does it work? Is there any standard document or?
No, we don't have any real standard in ISKCON, no, a fixed standard. We have a standard of the arti and the order and the book. For Gayatri, you mean the Sandhya Gayatris? You mean your three Gayatris? You're talking about that? They should be done. You can do before the deity worship. It'd be better because it'd be closer to the Sandhya. In the winter, it may not be. Depends what time the sun comes up. No, you don't have to. But it's, if you want to do it, the best time to do it is at Sandhya. It means that Brahma Muhurta is better, just before it gets light. So in the winter, it may be the best time after. I don't know what time the sun comes up in the winter here, but I know in some place it comes up like 8 o'clock. So then it would be better to do it after, or 7 o'clock. It would be better to do it after because your worship may be finished by then. Otherwise, better to do it before. And the noon one, if you're doing the offering, the Rajbhog offering, you can chant the whole Gayatri mantra. Gayatri mantra is the we have 10 mantras. The Gayatri mantra is actually the Brahma Gayatri is the one that the common one. But when we in our line, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we get another 9 mantras to chant. We Guru mantra, Krishna mantra, and Gauranga mantra also. If you're making the offering, then you can chant the full Gayatri mantra, and that will cover your Sandhya Gayatri also. You can include that while you're making the offering. But as far as possible, stick to those 3 times.
I have one more question. Like while doing arti to the deities, there is a whole procedure. Like you go 2 times, 3 times, 7 times, and things like that. So initially, when you start doing deity worship or arti to the deities,
I didn't get the last.
When you just started doing the deity worship, like say doing arti to the deities, like when you are very new. It's when you count it, so your whole focus is going like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that. So is that better, or you, I mean, you try to focus that you are doing or you are performing this arati on the knees, even if you miss out, it's okay, or you have to really, really focus on the numbers more than this, till you really get into the...
Now, generally, the numbers of circles are, because people ask a question, how many times, how should I do it? So therefore they come up with numbers. But then again, different paratis, they say different things. We have different, it's like this, our Panchapradip was taken from different paratis of Vaishnav acharyas. And they kind of select it. So then they will offer, there may be different procedures also, different ways. But because the question is asked, then he'll do like you do 2, 4, 3, 7. So we give a figure like that. And, you know, so if you want to standardize it, we could do in ISKCON if the GBC want to do it. I mean, some things, like for instance that, they could standardize that. It wouldn't be so difficult. Why those things are like that, I'm not exactly sure. Why you offer, you know, some over the head and some to the feet, some you know, not to the feet, different. But anyway, the numbers are mentioned in the book. So obviously, you don't really want to worship the deity and just counting numbers and just concentrating on the numbers of thing. But that's just for a guideline, how we should do it. But best you understand that you're offering these things to Krishna out of with affection. And should be offered nicely, gracefully, so that people outside will make a nicer mood. We have a question here.
Maharaj?
Someone's got to type into it.
Okay. I was wondering if you have seen there's a collage of Singha deities in Vrindavan.
I have. I was just visiting in Vrindavan, yes.
Did you meet Krishnananda Maharaj?
Huh?
Kirtananda Maharaj?
No, I didn't meet I met Vaishnava Maharaj there.
Oh, I see.
Nice
deity.
I met the devotee who made it also.
I'm sorry?
I met the devotee who made that deity.
Oh, what was his name, please?
Soma.
Soma, he took us on a tour.
Some old devotees took us on a tour.
I got to iron the clothes for the Anyamrita Shalagram Shila there. And I saw Srila Prabhupada there. No. He was jumping up and down with his hands up in the air.
No.
You should go then, next week.
Yeah, then 24 hour curtain.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Very big festival.
Huh?
Big festival.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you.
My name is Kunj Viharadas.
Welcome.
Thank you. I've never met you before.
No. You're initiating that?
Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Nice to meet you.
I met so many godbrothers I never met before in my life while I've been in America. Because most of Prabhupada's disciples are Americans. And it's the first time I've been to America. So, and many godbrothers I haven't seen for 30 years or so. Thank you. I'm made in England. England.
I just wanted to ask, because she was asking about chanting Gayatri, is it improper to chant Gayatri on the altar?
No, I haven't heard that. Generally you'd come out. But it's okay to chant inside. But when you're offering, and when you're chanting the Gayatri, the Krishna accepts it. Actually, as soon as you put the plate down, it's considered offered. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that. But while you're making the offering, while you're chanting the mantras, the pranam mantras, and while you're chanting, then you shouldn't look at the boga or the didi. But I haven't heard whether you can chant inside or outside, it's okay. I don't think it's a problem.
There was just nothing in the book about it.
Sorry?
There was nothing in the book about that.
No, then it's not a problem.
It says after chanting prayers for offering and chanting the first night of Gayatri to go into the Pujari room and finish. So that's why I was confused.
It says that in the book. It better follow. But it's, I don't think it's an offense. Because if you want to chant the whole Gayatri, then you have to go out and chant again. I'm saying, like I'm saying, there are different paddhatis where you can do some you're going and offer to Krishna. These are Vaishnav paddhatis. You're going and offer to Krishna, then you come out, chant mantras. If you go back in, offer the boga to Mother Yasoda, come out, chant your mantras, go back in, offer it to the gopis, come out, offer it to the gopas. There's so many. As the Prabhupada said, if you know how much there was to deity worship, you'd faint, something like that. So this is what they've taken mainly from Hari Bhakti Vilas, because that's directly our acharyas, but also the other Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas who've written their own paddhatis also. So these kind of detailed things are not so important, those details, as long as you follow the principles there. No, Krishna knows you're bringing in the boga. He knows that's my food. However you chant the mantra, he knows this is for me and I'm going to eat it. So we try our best to follow the examples given by the previous devotees.
Hare Krishna. I have a question about
I have a question about, then I couldn't hear.
Deity worship in a home.
Okay. Look at that. Yeah. Is that punctuality? Hello. Dharma Prabhu must have been here in the class.
So my question about deity worship in the home, actually about receiving things, I was wondering, because there's so many different forms, especially for grihasthas, there's so many different forms. I've heard that Ubra-Nrsimha was not good for grihasthas to worship, the angry form of the Lord, was from Kashi Kuru. So there's so many different forms, like Lakshmi, Nrsimha, Parai, Nrsimha, Vishnu. So I was wondering, what form of Lord Nrsimha do you believe that would be the best for grihasthas to worship, or top three, or...
It says that Grihasthas, it's not recommended Grihasthas worship the Ugra and the Sringadev because he's unpredictable. If you don't mind living under a tree, then anything can happen.
Can it be dangerous then for, if your sense is greater when it's a Grihasthas worshiping the angry form of the Lord? Is he more sensitive for offenses? The angry form of the Lord, or the sainthood, is he then, he can take on more offense?
Take on more?
Does he accept more offenses from the grihasthas?
No, he's unpredictable because he's very angry. When someone's angry, you don't go near them, right? When your husband's angry, you wait till they calm down, and then you go and ask him for something, right? You don't approach when someone's really angry, you don't approach them. So in that, because they're a bit unpredictable if someone's angry. Mayapur is super angry. Form. but not in his nature. I can tell you some stories if you like.
When the devotee had this beautiful Shrimi Devakarani partner Rani Kashyapu on his lap, so I got that deity from him and I brought him to my house. And that night we had a program. I think there was two Maharajas there, and a lot of the boys were there. And in fact, Chandra were God really. He was there, and a window broke in the house. And when I was cleaning it up, I got cut. And he said, "Yes. This is a sign of when the Shrimi Day has come. There's some destruction and there's some bloodshed." And we had Prabhupada Swami over for lunch several months ago when he was here. And he mentioned the same thing. He said that normally grihastha devotees aren't supposed to worship over the Shrimi Day. And he said, but because your main deity in our house is Lord Jagannath, he said, Lord Jagannath takes on the mood of the predominating deity of the house, he said. But I just said, well, this is the only form of the Shrimi Deva Srila Prabhupada presented to us, in a sense, that all of our paintings on the altar are all over the Shrimi Deva, turning her into Kashyapura. So I was kind of like, I was a little bit in disagreement in a sense, it just sentimentally, I guess, or whatever. Because Srila Prabhupada introduced Rupa Nisringadev to us. And he was our hero, you know, protecting the devotees all the time. So I kind of never felt afraid of Rupa Nisringadev in the form of Rupa Nisringadev. I felt like he was my protector always. So I didn't feel that sense of fear that here's Rupa Nisringadev, I better watch out. I never had that fear because I always felt that Prabhupada is extremely big. He's always protecting us. So I don't know. I just want to know what you thought about.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah. Just talk about it. It's my wife.
Was in the middle of that program.
Stay in the microphone.
With Maharaj, just in the program, and all the devotees, and this is where you brought the machine into my house. Now I'm in the middle of putting prasadam while the program is going on. And my house is full of deities. I see the Ramraj, Mahanaman, Jagannath, Balaji, Sobhadra, Gurudev, and those deities are big size deities. And the devotee told me I'm going to bring this deity to your house. I said, no, I have lots of deities. I'm happy. So maybe you should give somebody else. And then in the middle of the program, while I was cutting the vegetable, he brought a machine and just put it in my house.
I got it.
The king came. And he put it in the house. So after the, you know, I couldn't say no, I couldn't bring Krishna to the house. And I was kind of nervous. And then the whole program went very nicely. And then at the end, actually, the missionary came and said, Krishna, I come to tell you to be, you have come, even though I know it's, you know, to have extra duty and, you know, commitment to it. So I just felt a dispute after everybody left, and I felt a dispute. I said, we are single householders here. We have, you know, can only do a certain amount of worship here. And whatever, because Gurudev, when he gave us Jagannath, Balaji, Subhadra, deities, he told me keep the worship simple. Just for the children to be able to hear obeisances, worship, and recognize the Lord as the center of the home. So he said, keep it simple so you can come to do worship in the temple, you can spend more time in the temple. So I kept my worship very simple. The Shalom mostly, because Jagannath is feeding Shalom. So I pray to Narasimha, please be kind to us. Don't be angry with us. You're coming this Ugra national form, and please, if there's any offenses, please forgive us, and you have come. So I can't say go. So I just put him beside Jagannath, and he's a big team, but I feel he's always protecting us, and I think if there's any impediment, just so far, few years, he's been very protected.
The house hasn't burned down yet.
So I think it's the affection of the devotee, and I guess he wants to come. And since my son was born, every night we would chant Vishnu prayers before he goes to sleep. And so every day we chant Vishnu prayers at home, so I guess Vishnu wants to come to the house. And he's beautiful. He's so beautiful. So far he's holding us.
Srinadev is very fond of the devotees of Krishna, Radha Krishna. It's a very special deity. That deity is also a Golok deity. Nanda Baba worships Srinadev to protect Krishna, so he's also in Vrindavan. And he's very favorable to the devotees of Radha and Krishna. And the Navadip Dhammahatmya or Navadip Baba Taranga, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's going to the Nrisingapali, the very ancient deity in Navadip. And he's saying that when I roll in the dust in the front of Nrisingadev and pray for his blessings. And Nrisingadev, he said, when will Nrisingadev places feet on my head, something like this, and not verbatim. And he said, my dear child, I bless you. Very soon you will attain the mercy of a devotee and your heartfelt desires will manifest. And shortly after that, then he meets Lord Shiva, Shambho, Vaishnava, and Lord Shiva, he's in charge of the false ego, so he removes that false ego. And then his actual sarup, Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals his actual sarup in Krishna Lila. So by the mercy of Lord Nrisingadev. So he's very favorable towards the devotees of Radha Krishna. That he's in a peaceful mood, that was generally, because those deities, your worship, you only don't install them. It means to install Uga Nrisinga, then it would be a little more serious. But you've got him as a, you know, you worship Radha Krishna, you worship Jagannath, you worship Gaur-Nitai and the Srinadevis. Prabhupada gave us those prayers to chant after every arati. Prabhupada said those prayers are for the protection of the devotees and the protection of the movement. So it's a very special deity. But in that, in the form, the form we have in Mayapur is the most ferocious form. It's Stanu Nrisinga. That means the time when he just came from burst from the pillar, and he's shaking with anger because Prahlada, his pure devotee, has been tormented for so long. Now he's Hiranyakashipu, he's drawn his sword. So this is too much. The final thing. So here's Nrisingadev. He's just out of the pillar. His legs are bent. He's ready to spring. He's only got one thing on his mind. Hiranyakashipu. So that's why when we asked for this form, because this form came in the dream of the director in Mayapur. So he said, this form nobody worships. He said, because what's the use of worshiping a form? You want to worship a deity, you want some reciprocation. But he's only going to reciprocate with one person in this form. So he said, even in the heavenly planets, they don't worship this form. Said he asked his guru. He said, I'll ask my guru to make it or not. And his guru said, don't make it. He said, it won't be auspicious for you. It won't be auspicious for them. He said, who wants this deity? They said, it's for ISKCON in Navadvip, Mayapur. He said, there was one deity form worship like this. He said, and that was a very opulent temple at one time. They said festivals, elephant, prikram every day, He said, but now that place has become a ghost town. He said, is this what they want for their complex in Mayapur? He said, don't do it. But later on, he gave permission to do it. And the reason was, he said, because it's in the dham. He said, then all the deities in the dham, they take on the same mood as the presiding deity of the dham. And that Mayapur, that's Lord Chaitanya, that means he's Adhari, he's just giving, merciful. So he said, in Mayapur, he won't be Ugra. He'll be merciful. But that was in the dham, not necessary. So, we worship. He's an angry form, but his nature is actually very much in the mood of giving. Reciprocation. Very reciprocal, that deity. He's very popular now. So many miracles have happened with him, so many pastimes. Curing people. Every day, almost every daily, I get letters from people that have some. Everyone's got a problem in Kali Yuga. That's why that's why he's popular. Sometimes I call him Dr. Nrsingadev. I hope it's not offensive. But he's very successful. Therefore, he's become very popular. I think he wants to glorify and make Navadvip famous. Many sorrows. I can tell you some if there's no questions later on.
One more. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Thank you. This question is from Mother Lakshmi, who is on the altar right now. She's servicing the Lord for his sleeping, for the resting Nakti. And her question is that once you have chanted the sleeping mantra, the resting mantra for evening, and you open the curtains after, because what happened recently is that she had already chanted all the mantras for putting the Lord to sleep, and then she was instructed to turn the lights back on and open the curtain. So her question is what... is this proper, or because there was a senior Vaishnava here, and he was asking for that curtain to stay open, and that she had already chanted the mantra for resting, and so there was some confusion there.
But that's not normal. It's not normal to open the curtains after the deity is resting. It's not normal, huh?
No.
Then that will be up to the local management, local president.
You're saying it would be up to the local management.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's your answer, right? Thank you. This is Jai
Govinda. How strong is Fiji and we never seen Jagannath deities till I came to America? And I used to dress Jagannath a long time ago, a lot. And one day I was pregnant and I was so sick. Every time I stand up to dress him, I would feel dizzy. And I just sit down, then I would dress him up and sit down like that. And suddenly I became so used to Lord Jagannath, and I used to cook for the deities. And every time I went, I always prayed to Radharani that I would be on time. I would always want to not delay for them any service that I could, or dress or anything. I always prayed before I start that I would be on time. And somehow or another, Krishna was so kind to me that I would be always dressing on time and nicely. I think their Supreme Lord, whatever the devotees are looking like, if they pray, they will be able to do it on time too.
And God bless.
Another comment, Srila Guru Srila Paramahansa Maharaj gave a class once, and he mentioned that, if some devotees dress different deities, sometimes, particularly the devotee might dress
one clear meaning most of the time. Maybe somebody worships in a Shiva Guru and somebody worship Radha Govinda that. And he said, you're worshiping Brahmitai or you're worshiping Jagannath, or you so that it's good to read past times about themselves, about this particular deity, and to absorb in that mood and to dress them according to that, and thus you can just absorb in that particular form. So that it's good for the consciousness to serve the Lord in that mood. So as long as you're punctual in time, you know, as long as the person is punctual in his in his or her time in dressing the deities, he recommended to be, you know, in that mood of the particular deity, you know, job in the pastimes, and then serve them according to that pastime. You know, just transferring
the pastime to the law.
You know,
so,
just a comment on that.
Yeah, depends
what
pastime is.
Yeah. If you're worshipping Jagannath, then you're worshipping Jagannath a lot, then you just you know, read about his pastimes so you can, you know, have that loving exchange of him and his devotees, and then you can remember all the pastimes, yeah. You address them, mm-hmm. You can relish that pastime, and it's very sweet.
Yeah, very good. You know? Yeah, you understand more of his personality, that's very...
Yeah.
Who you're dealing with. But you address them. You address them as a supreme personality of Godhead. That the mood, you know, that mood. You may have a. You may be very advanced, but the mood, or what you we deal with the deity. We show the deity as a supreme personality of Godhead. Whatever your relationship may be, you may be advanced, but still you worship him according to the Panchachika Vidhi, not mood. Because sometimes Nityananda is an avidu, sometimes he doesn't wear any clothes, so you wouldn't do that. Yeah. Or Mahaprabhu, as a sannyasi, you wouldn't do that. We worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as his servants. So your internal relation can go on anyway, but externally we'll follow the rules of Vaidhi Sadhana, of Panchatiki.
Home, do we worship deities that are installed or are they uninstalled?
Either, whatever. If they're installed, then it means you're going to be more serious, probably.
You know, handling, if it's uninstalled, doesn't it seem more like idol worship?
Well, one form of installation is time. If you worship a deity for a long time, it's considered installed. If you install a deity according to the process, the Panchachiki process, then if you follow the rule, then the Krishna is obliged to reciprocate as the form of the deity. If there's no installation, he's not obliged to reciprocate. But still we see, that's Krishna, that's Jagannath, that's Gaunitai, that's what we see. And we show our affection and do our worship for him. Understand? But the difference is, if he's installed, he's obliged, if you follow the rule, he's obliged to accept, because he's Dhammaraj, he has to follow. If he's not installed, he's not obliged.
so which is best for a grihastha?
Huh?
Which is best for a grihastha?
If you can install it, but then it requires a higher standard. Generally. So Jagannath, Gaunitai, okay, but like Radha Krishna, then it will be, they require a little more a standard.
Installed Gaunitai.
Yeah, but then you'd ask your spiritual master, what standard? It means you're going to, that's serious if you want to install them. And just like, otherwise, you can worship the deity in six forms, and one of them is paint, a picture. So you can get the same benefit from worshipping a picture. But if you've got a deity, it means that you're going to dress the deity and put the deity to bed, maybe. But at least you're going to change and dress the deity and clean the deity. Otherwise, you might as well have a picture. So if you want to install it, it means you're going to become more serious. that means you're gonna actually do more.
That if the Anishtha deity is in and around the temple, then it's an expansion of the Vijayan deity of the temple, perhaps, for example, Kalshanji. So all these deities that are there around in the community are all expansions.
I can't hear anything you're saying.
So is it true that they are in fact expansions of the Kalshanji, these deities that are in the community? Chaturanga Anishtha.
Yeah. They're all Krishna.
Yeah, Jamal Krishna one time. Yeah, Jamal Krishna one time. I can't actually quote exactly, but I think that he didn't want, or this is a while back, that he wanted devotees to come and worship Radha Kalachandri and participate in deity worship here. Whereas having it at your house,
can
you elaborate on that?
He wanted him to worship
him. Yeah, whereas like, you know, instead of having, you can also have it at your house,
mm-hmm.
but also because, you know, being in
the
community,
you
want us to come to
worship. Yeah, yeah. The Prabhupada said the same thing. That they shouldn't, your deity in the house, if you're close to the temple, then you should, this can be your Isadeva, the temple deity, there's no need. You can keep a deity there, but it shouldn't interfere with it. You shouldn't sacrifice the temple program for your own house program if you're close by. That's what Srila Prabhupada desired also. Okay.
The congregation, we have a discussion right now, and we're discussing this right now. And that is that increasingly we're finding some devotees, but not devotees, the congregational people asking to have Ladu Gopal in their house as their presiding deity. And we notice now some of the devotees also having Ladu Gopal in their house. And two issues arise. One is, in our system, do we worship Ladu Gopal? Is that our, within our sampradaya, is that something that's modified? The second is the issue of offering bhoga to them. Sometimes the bhoga that's offered is left all day, 24 hours in front of them, in front of Ladu Gopal. Is there such a system that you leave 24 hours bhoga in front of the deities?
Well, that system, people, they often ask the question, what do I do when I go away? And there's no one to worship the deity. What shall I do? Shall I leave some dry fruit there and a jug of water, covered water? Or shall I? That question is often asked. best if you can get someone else to do it. If you can't take them with you, then someone else will do it. Otherwise, you know, you can do that. It's not the preferred option. But if you can't get them to be actually worshipped, then you can do that, or you can even worship them by meditation. You can take a picture with you and sit down and do a worship in your mind. The Ladu Gopal deity, he's everywhere, of course. There's no offense worshipping Ladu because he's a baby, he doesn't know what's right and what's wrong, so. He's popular. Srila Prabhupada didn't have any in the temples. He did say that it was the Balavas, they worship Ladu Gopal. He didn't install any, and he didn't. I think one time there was a someone put one on the altar. Prabhupada said it shouldn't be there in the Gaudiya mat. You see, they all have Ladu Gopal. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave Ladu Gopal for his grihasthas to worship. He let them worship Ladu Gopal. When they left their bodies, then they gave them to the temple. But in the temples at that time, they weren't there on the altar. But now you'll see many of them have, and they may have five or six on the altar even. That means because the grihasthas that were worshipping them, they didn't have any children to look after them. So in the house, he's very popular. But not for our ISKCON temples. That was Prabhupada's desire.
Hare Krishna Guru. A small question. And his colleague said that preaching should be time, place, and circumstance. So in deity worship standard, it should apply on also deity worship standard, it's time, place, circumstances, especially Radha Krishna. Like those are devoted in Mayapur, the deity worship standard. All these conscious temples around the world that follow that standard, or that according to time, place, it's just
circumstances. Yeah, what should be?
Yeah, but there, like I said, there's no standard in this film. There's no fixed standard. And I don't think we're going to get it. Some things we can standardize, like the procedure of the arati and, you know, the nature of the offering. But a lot of things we can't. For Radha Krishna, there should be 6-7 hours a day. That's the standard. Prabhupada said for Radha Krishna, you need 10 Brahmins. I mean, he said different things also, but how can you do it in a small temple? So that, you know, we're not going to have a standard like that. What we can do in my part, could you already look at that?
It's just not possible to. No, Bengal is like, it's very prestigious in Bengal, pujaris. We have a waiting list for pujaris. It's not a. So it won't be a big standard like that, but certain aspects we can standardize. Nrsimha Kavachara was trying to standardize some things, but the GBC are not very excited about it at the moment.
Another question is, those are dressing the deities. The head pujari, the head pujari has own choice how should be deity dress.
Mm.
And those are devotees, their dressing deities, they have also different mood when they dress deities. And this case, any devotee, like pujari said, okay, you have to put turban this way, we have to put garland this way, and the who was dressing, his she's feeling, okay, I like to dress today, so if I put Kalachandi turban or Krishna turban this way, this looks much better. And in this case, which standard or which one should be followed?
But there's no standard in dressing. It's we want to make Krishna look gorgeous, and people have different natures and they have different flares. Some people dress a standard thing, just like if you see Ram Bhadra dressed as a deity, you know that's Ram Bhadra's dressing as soon as you see it. Someone else, you know, that's that person. They have their different, but everyone has slightly different flavor. We'll be teaching. Like for the makuts, we'll teach one style with the two-piece makut. And then, but everyone else can elaborate on that. We're not saying that's because which style should you teach? So our puja, our dresser in our school, he teaches. I'll just teach one style. Then they can elaborate on that, and they can do their own styles also. And then a guest may come and teach like one year. Ayendra Prabhu came. He was also teaching. So they have a completely different style. All the chadars and the dhotis are all bunched up and crinkly and everything's like that. Rambhadra's like this, and some are chadars are down and some are up like Govinda. So that's not that's okay. Let the pujari express themselves, as long as it's not, you know, as long as it's acceptable. And you know, we're treating them like that. And it's sometimes better to let the people just go and do it, and because they may do things you'd never think of doing, and it looks fantastic. So let them express themselves as much as possible. But of course, the head pujari is a head pujari, so they have they can say what is acceptable and what is not, what they like and what they don't like. That's a position that you have to live with. But within reason, then let the devotees express themselves. I mean, they must be responsible people, otherwise they wouldn't have been up on the altar. But ultimately, it's the head pujari will say.
Who is that?
The Mahakrishna.
Yeah. When Gurudev was here, we used to do the worship, and he would come every day and tell the pujari how the chadar should be, or the Rani's hair should be, or the heaven should be, and he wanted the devotees to follow the standard.
Yeah, lucky. Direct instruction from Guru. We never left, didn't we?
And that was because, so that when they went out into book distribution or work or job, then it would be easy to remember the form of the deity in their minds.
Yeah.
And so that was why we established that standard.
He also said that when a devotee would leave their body, it would be easier for them to remember the deity as they're leaving their body, because
Once standard given, once within a certain latitude, they standard look of
deity.
If the deity kept looking different every day, then it would be hard for a devotee to meditate upon the form of deity at the time that they're leaving their body. So it was one of the reasons that he asked us to do that.
Also, because of the way Pala Chandra is built, he's short and he's stocky, and he has a round head. So his turban has to be made in such a way that to make his face look long, so that his body will look tall. The Gaudan has to go a certain way so his body will look tall. Every aspect that he used to dress Pala Chandra is made to make him look tall.
Yeah, you've been dressing him for years, so naturally you're going to find the most appropriate ways. Yeah, it'll change according to the pujari, according to the head pujari, or according to the president, or it'll change. Deities are always changing. Radha Madhava always changing. In Manipur, they dress them in the Manipur dress, and in Mexico, they look Mexican, Radha Krishna. You see? Yeah. That was a big controversy, wasn't it? But we got some good support from Harisari, and I think Prabhupada would have been pleased. Because someone donated, the Chinese devotees bought all this Chinese silk, sari things. So then we did it one time, just for them. They were all there, you know. It was time, place, and circumstance. And the Chinese devotees, it was a great thing that the devotees are coming, they're becoming devotees in China. They made this offering. They're very generous, the Chinese devotees. They're very, very generous. And bought all this, silk, Chinese silk, fantastic. And so for their pleasure, and then we did. But There was controversial, but Harisari did say that Prabhupada, he doesn't think that Prabhupada would have objected that, you know, I think his words were like, you know, the best of every culture, we should give that to Krishna. But we did it at one time. A couple of things we did one time. If they're controversial, then we don't do them anymore. We on the Srila Damodar Maharaj's disappearance day, when they had a big program in Mayapur. It was last year, and it was a program of the, was it RIA? I don't know that. Religious. It was a religious program, international faith, religious thing. It was big. It was one of the big people, like big things. There was a lot of, you know, from all over the world they come, and they wanted to hold this program. Sri Damodar Maharaj was one of the founders, and he wanted to hold this program. He wanted to bring all these people to Mayapur. So after he left his body, then they, in memorandum of him, they had this whole program in Mayapur. And there was going to be a Manipuri day. You know, they had Manipuri dancers, and they bought, said they have a Manipuri dress for Radha Madhava. It looked fabulous. The gopis with the mani, they looked fabulous. Yeah, and Gaur Purnima, we did it again. It looked so nice. They made all these dresses. You know the Manipuri dress, and Krishna wears that big kind of ostrich feather thing right down, and he has those two things on his belt, two decorative things. You know what they are? I asked, what are those things? He said, that's Krishna's jolly bag. That's the, when he goes to the forest, he keeps all his tiffins, all his food in there. But in Manipur, the deities actually look, their eyes are a little like this also. So we offer the best for the fruit also. Whatever's in season, the food, you should, it's an offense not to offer that. Whatever's local there. But if they're controversial, like some temples, they were painting eyes on the disc and put them over Krishna's eyes. And so Radha and Krishna would be looking at each other like this. It looked fantastic, but they stopped it now at that temple because it gets too controversial. But for the community, it was, you know, this is a, you know, put an extra arm on Krishna at Govardhan and yeah, things like that. It depends on the mood, you see. It depends on the mood, you know. It may just be right, but then if you're not there and you see it on the internet and you're in a whole different, if the mood's not there, you're not in that mood, then it looks, you know, what's going on, it's speculation, and so then you have to keep satisfy people, it's best to keep it normal. But the devotees love it. They love these things. Gopavesh. That was controversial. They like it, the love it. But like I say, if people were to complain, then, you know, don't bother. We used to have that marriage, Tulsi Vivaha, Tulsi, the Shaligram and Tulsi marriage. It's fantastic. But then it got too controversial, and we stopped it. But the devotees loved it. Can't hear a thing. I'm not gonna comment. We did it, devotees loved it, but it Gaudiya Vaishnavas, anyway, it got controversial, so we stopped it. Other temples may do it still, because in Mayapur it's a center, so whatever you do it gets out. So we have to be a little careful. Mm-hmm.
thousand people coming there, watching, developing something that in their dream. As a result, someone can shut down, someone can see Marani, the promise being to the dance. How many people can understand that the situation is last time? So I think it's a controversial
issue. Other festivals you can do. We do. There's a lot of festivals we can observe. Vamandwadasi, Prabhupada says, rites, you can dress up a young boy up as Vamandev. He writes that in the Bhagavatam, I think. So we do that festival, little boy. We open the curtains and a little boy steps out, little dwarf. We get one of the Gurukul boys in a deer skin and a kamandalu and a, you know, the umbrella, the bamboo thing umbrella. And a Kushagrasa belt, and then he comes down, and we sit him on a seat. And then we worship him, and the whole plate of Mahaprasad, we feed him like that. Then he distributes. But that Prabhupada said we can do that. He said, and when a child dresses as Krishna, you should know that Krishna is there. When he dresses a child as Krishna, you should know that Krishna is there.
My son has a question. How did you become head pujari of the Trinidad in Michael?
By force. Not for me. I was forced. They bought the deity after a lot of endeavor, and then said they had a meeting. Who's going to be the pujari? And none of the pujaris wanted to do it. So finally, they got down to three pujaris, then to two pujaris, and that was Jananas and myself. Jananas. So who's going to do it? Jananas. Well, I'm worshiping Radha Madhava. So they said, you can do it. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, why not? I said, I'm too scared. So he said, we know why you're not, we know why you're scared, because you don't follow the four regular principles, isn't it? He said, of course I follow. Then, that's it. Okay. Here's the key. Shall I tell you some stories? You want to hear some stories of Nrisimhadev? Published in a little booklet, so you may have read them, but one of the pujaris, he was really scared. He lives in Atlanta now, that devotee. He said that deity used to make sounds. He was always scared. We were after one day, he was all right, far as I was concerned. He was okay. It wasn't like we expected. And one day, he put the deity to rest in the evening, and he said, I was just leaving the temple, and I heard such a sound. He said, my hairs were standing on end. And everything was okay, but he said he paid his obeisances when he went outside, and he begged forgiveness if he made any offences. He's taking rest at night, and in the morning his bed is rocking. So he thought it must be he's on a bunk bed, you know, this one up, one down. So he thought some pujari underneath, getting up for Mangal Arati. He opens his eyes and he sees Nrisimhadev on the end of the bed, sitting on the bed. And he freaked out. He was always scared of him. And he was panicking. He tried to get up. And Nrisimhadev put his hands on his shoulders. And he said, Nrisimhadev said, be peaceful. And he said, be calm. He said, I've just come to tell you, when you worship me in the temple, there's no need to be frightened. He said, you worship me with a peaceful frame of mind. There's nothing to worry about. And also, when you wake me up, Mangal Arati, don't turn the spotlight directly in my eyes. Nrisimhadev disappeared. He jumped up. He's running up and down the building like everyone thought he was haunted by a ghost. He had two marks on his shoulders for many years. They're gone now, but. Then one time I offered these false fingernails, like, you know, like the ladies have these false fingernails. So I put them on the singer there, but they weren't very effective. They weren't so visible, and it was a little awkward when you're dressing. But anyway, I gave her one as Mahaprasad, because she used to make a tulsi garland every day for Nrsingadev. It took about at least three hours. The garland is, you know, like this round and huge. So she made a hole and put it on a chain and hang it around her neck. And the next morning she told me that, you know, last night Nrsingadev came in my dream, said he put his nails in my heart, and he pulled out this black yucky stuff. And he said, "You see this?" He said, "This is not love, this is lust." He said, "And there's more there. What shall I do with it?" Another time when Mataji came, and she said she had a dream of Nrsingadev. It was such a long dream. She said, Nrsingadev was holding my hand and we were walking and talking. She said, "But I can't remember most of the things, but I can remember asking him how can I serve you?" And he said, "You can offer me some mangoes." So she asked, "Can she get some mangoes?" We got some. It wasn't mango season, but it was like a Gopurnima time. So there was, I managed to get some anyway in the market, and we offered. A few days later, after a week or so later, she came back and said, "Actually, I only told you half the story." This was the year that His Holiness Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj left his body in Mayapur. Given talking about some very esoteric pastimes, Krishna, Balaram, etc., and apparently had a heart attack. But after that, she came and she said, "I tell you another part of that dream. I didn't tell you before because my Guru Maharaj told me not to tell anyone that Nrsingadev told me that." I think I'll take my pujari back to me. I'll bring my pujari back to me. And she said, no, don't. We want him to stay here." She said, "No, I'll take him back soon." She said, no, please, we want him to stay here." So after this was going backwards and forwards for some time, then she said, then Lord Nrsingadev said, "Okay, then I'll take one of the gurus instead." So she said, "I told my guru," he said, "you better not mention this, but now this has happened, that Gaur Govinda Maharaj was one of our prominent gurus in ISKCON." Gaur Govinda Maharaj ki jai, Bhakti Godhead ki jai. Well, there was another devotee from the Gaudiya Mat. He's the acharya there now, Gopinath Gaudiya Mat. They also worship Nrsingadev in that temple where we stay in Mayapur. There's all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, all the same family. Whole world is all. Anyway, he came one day and he was speaking to Jananava Sahib Pujari, that he said, "On Nrsinga Chandadasi, I was staying up all night fasting, chanting, and then in the night, early hours of the morning," he said, "Nrsingadev appeared in my room." He said, "This Nrsingadev, wearing a red dress, and he seemed to be very satisfied with me." And I told my Guru Maharaj, he said, "You're very fortunate. You go to ISKCON and offer some worship for the deity." Devotees in China, it was a mother and daughter. Father was dying. He wasn't a devotee. He didn't know anything. And he was dying with cancer. So they had a picture of Nrsingadev Mayapur. They was praying to him that he could leave his body that he would be protected. Lord Nrsingadev would give his blessings. They were playing at the tape, I think maybe Prabhupada's tape, that they were playing the Maha Mantra for him. And he was listening, and he was almost in a semi-coma kind of thing. And he was dying. He was just tapping his hand on the bedside, and his ring was hitting the metal bedpost, and ding, 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 ding. It was like cut off. And his eyes were closed, and he said, "Who is that other person come in the room?" And they said, "There's no one else here." He said, "It's a very tall person with he's got a face like a lion and very long fingers." So they said, "Wow, that's Nrsingadev." He said, "Who, Nrsinga?" He said, "But he's nodding his head in agreement. It's true." He said, "You can't see him?" He said, "Oh, I forgot, you can't see him. But he's there. And he's telling me, he's talking to me. And he's saying," he said, "that mantra that they're playing, you should learn that. You should chant that. So he said, then Nrisingadev disappeared. So he said, you can teach me that. So then they told him Hare Krishna, and the next day, that evening, he left his body very peacefully. One Mataji, she has a problem with her eyes since she was a young girl. So this problem comes on periodically, and then she gets, lasts for some weeks. So it came and she was praying to Nrisingadev. She's a teacher in the school there, and she was praying to Nrisingadev that, Prabhu, how can I do my, please help me. I can't do my service very well like this. And then she said, Lord Nrisingadev spoke to her. And he said, you first get my old eyes back, then I'll fix yours. And she was, what was going on? I said, I must be hallucinating. Then it came again. So she was thinking, how do I know? Because we changed Nrisingadev's eyes from the original eyes. Someone gave two big stones, half round stones, semi-precious, tiger light they're called. They look a little bit like eyes. Anyway, he put them on, because the devotee offered them to Nrisingadev, and I asked the other devotees, what do they think? And everyone thought it's okay. But apparently Nrisingadev didn't like them. And she was thinking, how do I know about getting your eyes back? So then he said, you go to the Pujari and tell him to put my old eyes back. She went and told Janani herself after she had calmed down a little bit. So then he told me, and we kind of checked her out. She's not a sentimental person. She's a teacher. And so the next morning, then she saw me again last night in my room when I was sleeping. That woke me up, and that voice came and told me the same thing. So then the next, I believed her. The next day, the next morning, we changed Nrisingadev's eyes, and just right at that time, then her problem also left. So lots of little things that were happening like that. Miracles are happening. Another boy had it was quite recently. He had he got chicken pox. He was from New Delhi. So he was a student, and he wanted to come to Mayapur. He wanted to come and study Bhakti Shastri. So finally, he persuaded his parents to let him come. And so after a little while, then he got chicken pox, and he got all these black spots come over his body. And it was he went to the doctor, and he said, it's a very contagious type, also you should go into isolation for 17 days or something. It's a contagious type. Oh no. So then he went for a confirmation. So he went to the Ayurveda, he told him the same thing. He went to the homeopath, he told him the same thing. He went to the temple and in the evening, and he prayed to Nrisingadev, Prabhu, please help me in my pitiful condition. It's not a very nice thing, is what you itchy. Please help me. So I came here after great difficulty, after a great long time, convincing my parents. I'm here, we're studying Bhakti Shastri, it's so much nice association, all this. Sannyasis are there and people giving nice classes, and now I've got to stop everything, and who knows, I'll get a chance again. Praying to Nishin, please. And then the guard came up, the chokidar, hey, you shouldn't be. He went to take some prasad, and he took the prasad and said, okay, you should leave the temple immediately, don't come back. He's really disappointed. He takes rest, and he woke up really early in the morning. He woke up at 2 o'clock. He got up and took a bath. While he was taking a shower, all the black spots washed off him. And he was feeling fine. That doesn't happen with chicken pox. It lasts for months. Just before I left, it was about a month ago, one Mataji, she said, I've been hearing in the classes lately that it's okay to ask Krishna for for things. I thought we weren't allowed to ask Krishna for anything. You know, we should be pure unalloyed devotees. Don't ask Krishna for anything. We should just always be, I'm Krishna's servant, whatever he wants. But I've been hearing it's okay to ask, pray to Krishna for things. So she said, I've had this problem for 4 years. So yesterday morning, I spoke to Nrsingadeva and asked him to remove the problem. And she said, within hours, the problem had disappeared. Was a devotee, who's one of the youth, he was a disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Calcutta. He was in the youth forum they had there. So he used to have an argument with his father, that his father would say, how can you say that Krishna and the Nrsingadev are the same? You know, he's saying Krishna, everyone's expanded from Krishna, is actually the same personality. His father couldn't kind of get his head around that, because you know, they're the same person. Anyway, they came to the Abhishek, the festival of Nrsingha Chaturdasi, 1 year. So father's watching the Abhishek, then suddenly he sees Madhava's face. Madhava's our Radha Madhava, the presiding deities in Mayapur. So then he sees Nrsingadev with Madhava's face, and he looks at Madhava, he sees Madhava, he looks back, he sees Madhava there, he looks back, Madhava. And then he understood they're the same person. another devotee came, a bhakta. So he joined he did the bhakta program, and he went into one department, and his father came. So he'd been there about four or five months, I guess. Then his father came, he wanted to take him back home. He said, your mother's really missing you, and you have another year at college, and we think it's best for you to come home and finish that year of college. You know what's going to happen in the future, and then come back. So he didn't know what to do, because he was also attached to his mother, and so he wasn't sure what to do. He says, you should ask my in charge, my department head. And that devotee said, nah, better let him stay here, and he said, Brahmachari. So then father was, and someone else, another devotee held the father's feet and said, please don't take your son back to Maya. So then he was kind of really bewildered, because the father actually lives in an ashram also before, when he was younger. He knew what the ashram is. He's Vaishnava. So he knew the situation. So now he is really bewildered. He said, I'll leave it to Nrsingadev. So then he went before Lord Nrsingadev and prayed, Prabhu, this is my predicament. He says, I'm just going to depend on you for the answer. Whatever you say, I will do. That night, Lord Nrsingadev comes in his dream and he's rubbing his head. He said, my dear child, he said, you don't worry about your son. I'll look after him. He said, you go back home. Leave him here. I'll take care of him. Another boy, someone threw this firecracker, and it went off right in his face. And it was a real mess, burned. And his mother, his father were hysterical. He was young. And they took him to the hospital, local hospital. They said it's quite serious, but they said, We don't think he's blind, but you should take him to a better hospital. Take him to Calcutta. It's too much for us. So she then called out, please do a special puja for Nrsingadev, for this, our son. So we did this special. And I think she got some, I think Sarvataka Maharaj gave her some Nrsingadev Abhishek oil, which I have here. If you remind me afterwards, I'll give you some. And she put that on the son then. So she took him to the specialist, and they said, look, we'll clean him up now. He's in observation for a day. We'll clean him up, then That's what we recommend. We just do a quick clean up now, then you have to wait, and after about 6 months, then it gets better. He's not blind, he will be able to see. Then after 6 months, you can go in for plastic surgery. Okay, then. So they went in, they took him in the ward. And then after a few minutes, the doctor came out. He'd call in the parents in. And the parents went in, the kid was normal. His face was only just one little mark on his face. He said, we just started to clean, and said, and the whole thing just came off like a mask. And he was perfectly normal underneath. He said, he's Krishna's boy, right? We don't know what happened. We can't explain this. You take him away. He's Krishna's chali. There are many stories like that. You probably know, because we published a little book. Say anything about one key jay. Okay. Shall we finish here? Oh, then we go until 10 o'clock. Sorry? No. I'm here. I'm your servant for one day. I'm very familiar. It floods frequently in Mayapur. So this time there's about this much water in the Nutmandir. About up to the waist in the Sringadev temple. So I would just do a very quick puja, more or less a manasa puja, just with archamant cup and some water, chant mantra and offer the upachas, water, chant the mantra into water and offer that instead of the thing. There was no dressing in that because it's all muddy water, it's Ganges water all around, so if you drop something it's gone. So there's no bathing and there's no dressing and stuff. So I just have this one plate and I have a small table, wooden table this big, and I would put that, and that would be like a boat. Then I would push that out and put a flashlight in one hand and a stick in the other. Because they turn off the electricity at that time because everyone's moving around on boats and there's overhead cables, so they turn off all the electricity in the area. Then after Mangalarti, everyone leaves, and it's kind of spooky there, you know, there's no one there. And so then I would leave the door open to get some, otherwise with just one candle. And I would leave the door open so that the dawn was coming at that time, that little light. Then the snake used to come in every day. It'd go around the deity and go out again. And one day, he was late. I already finished the puja. And I was offering the arti, the final arti. And he came in, he did the other way. He did prikram the other way this time. And when he came around the deity, then he came and I was blocking the path. Because there's a wall here and the altar's like, there's only this much room and I'm standing right in the middle of his path. So then he stops about 3 feet from me and he's checking me out. Oh my God. With my stick. Stick was away and you can't run in the water. You can't run. And I thought, wow. And then he went, boop. Oh my God, I was just waiting for something to wrap around my legs and the muddy water. Oh, what am I going to do? And my hairs were standing on end. It was an ecstasy. I thought, well, what am I going to do? What am I doing? And I look up and there's Nrisimhadev, you know. I thought, wow, I'm trying to defend my... We were supposed to be dependent on Krishna. He's right next to me and I'm thinking, how am I going to protect myself? How am I going to run away? How am I going to get my stick? How am I going to fight? Then I'm praying, oh, Prabhu. You're the super soul in everyone's heart. You're also in that snake's heart. If you want him to bite me, he'll bite me. If you don't, he won't. So then I became very peaceful. He never came, snake never came back. But it was a realization for me. When I later, you know, we're supposed to always remember Krishna. He's right in front of me, I wasn't remembering. Another time there's a little one in there. The baby ones you can't really distinguish whether they're poisonous or not. He's about that big. He's swimming around, I'm doing the puja, keeping one eye on him, and suddenly he disappears. So then, why was he gone down? I looked down, and he was curled up on the seat right next to me on this little table. I would put this table on the altar, and it was like, you know, half an inch above the water line. I would sit on that and do the. So he was curled up there, but he, you know, curled up. He looked peaceful. So that was the quickest puja I ever done in my life. And then I just slid off and floated him away. Otherwise, the floods are quite. People look forward to the floods. It's quite exciting, quite good fun, especially the children. One man was there who told me. he said I was standing there at the taking darshan of Shingadev, and it was a flood. Flood was there. And he said, I had someone called me from behind. So he said, and I turned around. He said, a big snake plopped right where I was standing. It was on the, we got metal gates that open, you know, wrought iron gates. So his snake was up there, he never saw. He said, I just turned around and said, it wasn't a snake. Where I was standing, just for right there. He said, and there was no one there. There was no one behind me. He said, there was no one else in the temple. He said, and Shingadev saved me. You want to hear some Jagannath stories?
Yeah.
At temple in you've all been to Mayapur? How many people have been to Mayapur? How many people know the stories of Jagannath? Anyway, I won't go into the history, it's quite a long history also. But briefly, the deities are self-manifest. They appeared into a dream of a devotee 500 years ago, the time of Mahaprabhu, who became blind and he couldn't go to Puri to see Jagannath and Mahaprabhu. Jagannath said, I reside, eternally reside in this place. This place is not different from Puri. It's about 5 kilometers from our temple. It's high land. It doesn't flood when there's a big flood. And he said, tomorrow when you take your bath, I will touch you in the form of a log. I will be floating in the Ganga. I will touch you, and that time your eyesight will be restored. You take me to this village, this carpenter will carve me, my form of Lord Jagannath. So that happened. So that there the deities. And it was a miracle happened that they self-manifest. They cured that devotee's blindness. They cured the person he told to carve the deity. Jagannath instructed this person had leprosy. He refused to carve the deity, but no one else could do it. So eventually they said, "You have to do it." While he was carving the deity, so his leprosy disappeared. When he finished the deity, his leprosy was gone. So this. The miracle started even before Lord Jagannath was manifest. But since then, so many miracles have happened. So many stories of it. We got the temple in about, I think it was 1978, if I'm not mistaken. But apparently that the deities were lost for, I mean, not lost, but they went... After that devotee, who he appeared to, left his body, Then after some time, some generations, then the Lord Jagannath said he's not satisfied with the worship, it really declined. And he said that everyone should leave this place. He's going to, pastimes won't be manifest for a while. There will be a cholera epidemic come. So everyone left except that the family who worshipped the deity. They got cholera, everyone died. The temple was covered with jungle and more or less forgotten. People knew it was there, but they wouldn't go there because there was snakes and things there. And the temple practically fell around Lord Jagannath. One girl used to go there. When she was very young, she told us. She's still alive. And she said that place was infested with snakes, but there would never be any snakes or animals on the deities. So her father gave it to us at that particular time. Her father had no sons. He had seven daughters. And when she said the younger daughter, when she got married, she said that some thieves came to the wedding. Where there's a wedding, there's some gold, although it's quite a remote area. But the devotees there, they knew they were thieves. They were local people. But anyway, it was a wedding, so it's a auspicious time. So they asked them, please come, take some prasadam. After some time, then these thieves went to one place and they started discussing something, and that turned very heated. A big argument broke out, and they started fighting. So then they caused so much attention that they disappeared. A few days later, that the leader came to this her father, Pratik Chatterjee, and said, "Actually, that night we came to rob you." He said, we're just deciding how to do it. He said, then I saw this light coming from the temple, Jagannath's temple, and it was hovering over you. So I knew that there's something extraordinary here, and we won't be successful in our mission. So I told the others, we're going to call it off. But they was upset. We said, no, we're here, we should start. So then that's why we started. Some wanted to do it, some didn't. And that argument, then we caused so much attention that we had to go. And then there was a war between India and Bangladesh at that time, 1970. And I think actually they started again the worship on a very, very low scale. It was about 1950 something that one devotee was a, he's not actually a devotee, he was a Shakta. Also that family was also, they also worshipped Shakta. They weren't pure Vaishnavas. But he took over the temple because he had the adjoining land, and by the decree of the villagers, then he took over the temple because nobody owned the temple. But there was one other devotee, he wasn't exactly a devotee, but he was a kind of mystic. He died a few years ago. And he used to go in what they called Bhar. It means he used to speak like the deity was speaking through him. So one day he's up there outside, and this fellow, they knew the temple was there, but no one was going there. He would worship in his house, and then he would just turn around from his house and from point towards the temple and offer something to Lord Jagannath. Although no one ever went there. And so this other Jaimini goes, he goes in his bar, and he's got his red cloth on, and he's all these garlands, and he goes outside the house and he's raving, it's not good enough, it's not good enough, this worship. You should worship me properly. I demand that you worship me properly. It's not good enough. It's Lord Jagannath. So they used to believe him. And so then they started to clean the place up and repaired the temple a bit and started worship. Although they weren't cooking, they were just offering little fruit and water. That was only in about 1950 something. So for a long time, those deities were more or less buried by termite nests and jungle. That when that in the 70s war, then so he moved away because there's a Muslim village there next to that temple, And so he had seven daughters, so he moved away for their protection. And so then after a few days, then the head of that village came to see him and asked him, why have you moved away? Why don't you come back? He said, you know, you understand now it's a very volatile situation between the Hindus and Muslims. He said, I got all my seven daughters. So he said, don't worry, we'll give them full protection. He said, anyway, thanks, but no thanks. He said, actually, he said, we're very frightened. Since you've been gone, he said, we've been very scared. We're hearing voices coming from the temple. Why no one is coming anymore? Why no one is cooking for us? Why no one is doing our worship? You must come back. And we will promise we'll give you a full protection. So he came back and they gave him full protection. One time a devotee came from, this is before we had the temple, he came from Puri and he came to see Mayapur, see the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and he was asking, are there any Jagannath temples nearby? So they directed him to our temple in Rajapur. Lord Jagannath spoke to him and says, you know, they don't worship me here like they're doing Puri. You know, Jagannath gets this chapan bog, very opulent worship. He said, here they're very poor. He said, they don't feed us hardly, you just get a little fruit. He said, if you could arrange a feast for us, at least once a year we could get some decent meal, we'd be happy. A snan yatra is coming very soon. If you could make a meal for us, a feast for us, we'd be very, very much obliged. So he arranged that. And so that was a tradition that every sannyasi they'd have a feast. Otherwise they weren't cooking for him whole year. He was only cooking once a year. And then that would be a big festival. Jagannath takes his bath. All the villagers come. Everyone bathes Jagannath. So that tradition is going on. And now we've also increased that. We built a nice new snan vedi for Jagannath outside. Thousands of people come. They cook up khichdi and sweet rice for everyone. So one devotee comes there and he took some prasadam and then he took some for his friend. He's a rickshaw driver, this devotee. So he gave some to his rickshaw driver friend. He was a Muslim. And he threw it away. He took the prasadam and we don't take this. That next day he comes back and he's offering some items of worship for Lord Jagannath. And he asked the Pujari, have you got any prasad left over from yesterday? Can you give me a little prasadam? The Pujari said, how come, you know, you're a Muslim man, you're asking for Jagannath prasadam? He said, I made a great offense yesterday. He said, it almost cost me my life. He said, this white one, he was crushing me. He was sitting there crushing me. He was strangling me, choking me. He said, you rascal, I will finish you off. You're a great offender. And he said, please, please, have mercy on me, have mercy. He said, no, you don't know what mercy means. You know, you worship my brother by honoring his prasadam. You had that prasadam and you threw it away. He said, you don't know what mercy is. I'll finish it. He said, this yellow one, she was laughing. She said, yeah, very good, kill him, kill him, kill him. He said, the black one is also laughing. He said, no, don't kill him. So then the Pujari managed to find some prasadam from them. So he took that and they all have a very healthy respect for Lord Jagannath there. Another time there was an epidemic and people were actually dying in that area. And the Jagannath came to the Pujari in a dream and told him of a medicinal cure. So they got all these ingredients except one thing they couldn't find, which wasn't local to that place. However, later on in the day, then one young boy comes with this branch, these herbs, for the head, for the Pujari. And his wife said, well, you know, he's not here, you leave it there. Pujari comes back and sees it. He said, that's exactly what we wanted, the missing herb. He said, who gave that? He said, I don't know, he's not from this village, and young boy bought it. Anyway, they made that medicine and everyone was cured. So they have great respect for Lord Jagannath. He's very powerful. So we took over that temple, and we built a new temple later on, nice new temple for Jagannath. When we were building the temple, one of the workers, he would take home one piece of marble every day, one little slab of marble, they put marble on the floor. So one day he comes out with a bullock cart with all his marble on it. Coming like this. So he said, "I'm sorry, I made a big offence. I've come to return this. I'm very sorry. I apologise." He said, "But last night, Lord Balaram came to my dream and said, why are you stealing my brother's property? You immediately take it back. I will destroy you and your whole family. You must take it back." So then he put that back. Another time, they were making another Jagannath temple in another village, quite close by, Belpakur. So then they said, this was before we had the temple. why should we buy a deity of Jagannath, this one at Rajapur? No one's worshipping him. Nobody, there's hardly anything going on there. Why don't we take that one? So they went and stole him. They're carrying the deity back. And suddenly they all felt the call of nature. Same time, so they put Jagannath down and did what they had to do to come back, and they couldn't move him. So they went back to the village and got more men, and they couldn't move him. He was too heavy, and they were like 13 men. He just wouldn't budge. So then they realized they made a mistake. They went back to the pujari with straw in their teeth and said, "We're sorry, he was taken." No Jagannath's out in the field. So the pujaris went and brought him back. The one pujari used to have a lot of pastimes with Lord Jagannath. One time he was sick, and he told the guard, "Look, he did the noon program, put the Lord to rest at 1 o'clock, and the next darshan is 4 p.m. in the afternoon." He said, "But he was too sick." He said, "I told the chokidar, the guard there, that look, I'm going to take rest, and I won't be up till later, so I will give that not many people were coming at that time. So don't wake me up, I'm taking rest." So he's taking rest, and Lord Jagannath comes into his dream and says, "What's going on?" He said, "You have a little fever and you want to stop our service?" He didn't stop eating, he didn't stop taking prasadam. And he didn't stop your bhajan. He said, "But you want to stop our service?" And he got up and said, he woke up, "Oh my God." He said, "I have to." He said, "I was really sick." He said, "I was really wiped out." And so he fell back to sleep again. But then the knocking on the door, bang, 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 is a guard. "Wake up, wake up." He started to wake the deities. "I told you don't wake me up. Come on, you have to wake the deities." "Oh, it's too much. Jagannath must not want me to wake him up." So then he goes, waking the deity. He waking the deity, Lord Jagannath speaks to him. He says, "Actually, I like you to do my puja." He said, "That other pujari, you know, he's not very careful. You know, sometimes when he's dressing us, he sticks a pins in us. You see, you lift up my charter, you'll see." He pulled the charter from Jagannath's arm, and there was one spot of blood. No Jagannath's arm. At the time, it was cold. It was we changed the changeover from to winter. It's called Odon Shasti. That's the time when Lord Jagannath gets his starch cloth. There's a famous story in the CC where Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Jagannath slaps his face because he was criticizing the pujaris because they're wearing this starch cloth put in on Jagannath. That's the mark of the winter. So he also gets his winter clothes and his warm blankets. It was cold, but it wasn't that time. That's the official time, but it wasn't. But it was still cold before that. So pujari was sleeping, and in a dream this was, so he's banging on the door, he opens the door, he couldn't see it. He looks down, he sees the little deities laying on their back shivering. And they said, "You don't think we feel cold? You're sleeping very nicely under your quilt, what about us?" Another time he dreamt of these small deities, and in the dream little Jagannath said, He said, "You know, you're not very careful." He said, "When you put us to bed, He says, you just pick us up haphazardly. He said, and you put your finger in my eye and you carry me like that. He said, don't do it. Don't touch me with this finger. It's not nice. He woke up. Wow, what a dream. Later on, he was actually waking a deity. And he did the same thing. He picked Lord Jagannath up. And Jagannath said, I told you, don't touch me with this finger. He took off his... He's telling us the story. Jagannath said, hey, wait a minute. He said, Jagannath doesn't have any hands. How can he show you his finger? He has. I saw it. One time he was putting on his dressing, he was putting the necklaces on Lord Jagannath. 1, 2, 3, 4 necklace. And it fell down. He picked it up again, put it on. Again, it fell down. Surprised he picked it up and fixed it on again. Again, he dropped off. Picked it up again. Lord Jagannath said, I don't want any more. Don't you understand? So when we first got the temple, it was really broken down. The deities, they couldn't even stand up. They were leaning against the wall. The base was all damp, and we had to repair them. So then there was no facility up there for cooking. So then we would cook our extra for Radha Madhava, and then the pujari would put it in a tiffin and take it on the cycle and offer the Rajbhog. Jayapataka Maharaj told he said, actually this land, this temple is not legally ours, because there were so many signers on this piece of land for this property. We still need a few more signatures. So don't start too high a standard of worship in case we can't maintain it. So the pujari thought, all right, then I won't go down and bring that bhoga. So then he didn't bring the bhoga that day, but at night he dreamt that he went into the temple and the deities were gone. So he's devastated. He came rushing out looking, and then he saw the deities. They're walking across the fields. So he's calling out, hey, Jagannath, Prabhu, Balaram, Maharani, come back, don't go. He said, no, we're not staying here, you don't feed us. We're going to Mayapur Chandradayam. Of course, when Jayapataka Maharaj heard that, he said, no, I didn't know he was... No, immediately you should continue. One time we got a govardhan for one sannyasi who was going to start travelling. He wanted a govardhan shila. He left it there at... He left it at the Jagannath temple until he was going out to preach. They wouldn't let him go. I mean, the pujaris wouldn't let him go in the end. But when they, after some time, Jagannath in a dream came to the pujari. He said, you know, ever since that Govardhan's been here, he said, he's given us a hard time. He said, he takes all the prasadam. He said, and especially the sweets. And he doesn't even wait for it offered. As soon as the pujari brings it in, he starts to take it. And he's very quick. If we can't get it, takes all those weeks, you have to do something. So then Jayapataka Maharaj says, you have to make a special plate. And so now he gets his own plate, a little peaceful. Another time the pujari, He took the tiffin from Mayapur and he forgot to bring tulsi leaves. So he made the plate and he thought what to do, because the temple was in really bad shape. He thought, if I leave, then some dogs may come in, or some children may come in there. Because tulsi is growing around. So then he prayed, Lord Jagannath Prabhu, I know you say that you don't accept any offering without tulsi, but please understand the situation and accept it anyway. So then he went outside, chanted the mantra, and he went back in for the offering. In the rice, there was a tulsi branch, like 10 inches stuck right in the middle of the rice. So that's Swami Ki, yeah. He's very resourceful. So these things are going on right up to the present day. Quite recently, a woman was coming from Calcutta and she had this fruit offering for Lord Jagannath. She was sitting in a bus in the what they call the pilot seat. It means next to the driver. And later on, some other people came in and said, you should go and sit at the back. So she went to the down in the middle of the bus. As soon as she sat down, there was an accident. The car, the bus hit something. The driver went right through the windscreen. She said, if I was there, she said, Jagannath saved me. She said, Jagannath wanted his offering, so he sent me to the back of the bus. That devotee is in Atlanta now. Yeah, he was a there was a Bengali family there, and this was in the old temple. So he went up there. It was very quiet at that time; hardly anyone was going. So his voice was very, very attractive to this brooch that Subhadra Devi was wearing. So he thought he'll take the brooch, steal the brooch. A young boy, and. Anyway, his mother told us that he came running into his mother. He was crying. He was hysterical. He said, What happened? So after he calmed down, he said, I went to the temple and Subhadra had such a lovely brooch. And I saw there was no one around. I thought I'd take that nice brooch. I was just going to take it. He said, and Balaram swung his arm and slapped my face. I asked him, I said, was that true story? He said, I don't know what happened. He said, but I was going to steal the brooch. He said, and then suddenly I found myself on my back outside the temple. Another one time a devotee was doing some work in the local town, city, Krishnanagar. So on her way back, he had a strong desire to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, so he told the driver, go to the Jagannath temple. But it was just 1 o'clock, and the pujari was just locking the temple up. And he said, I really wanted darshan of Jagannath. He said, I'm not such a devotional, He said, but this mood was really strong, I really wanted to take darshan. It was unusual for me to feel so devotional. So I asked I didn't like to tell the pujari to open the door again, he went to rest. So I asked him, any chance of darshan? He said, yes. He said, 4 o'clock, you can come. So anyway, I was trying to look through the doors, because that was the old temple, it's cracks in the doors, but it's so dark inside, I can hardly see anything. So I was trying the windows, they were locked, they were wooden windows, shutter windows. He said, for 15 minutes I was trying to get... So I was laying on the floor, trying to look underneath the door. He said, there was a gap there. 15 minutes I tried, and then I gave up. And I was really disappointed, because he said it was unusual for me to feel so devotional like that. I was disappointed. I was walking away and I heard this creaking sound. I looked around and a window was swinging open. That window was locked, he said. I tried it. I went running back and sunshine was coming in. There was Jagannath Baladev Sivaji Maharaj. Nice darshan. One time the night guard, he was sitting up at the tree. That place is a very beautiful place. There's a mango orchards, mangoes and jackfruit trees. So he's sitting up the tree at night because the snakes, things. And then he sees one man coming in the middle of the night. And he said he passed right under the tree. I didn't say anything. But he was a gentleman, you know, just in nice clothes and long hair, and you could smell some perfumed oil on his hair. And he went off towards the temple. So then a kirtan began. He said, madangas were coming, then cartels were coming. He said, and there was sweet smells were coming over. He said, and there was a big kirtan. Ladies were ululating. He said, it's the middle of the night. The temple was locked. He said, and it died down. He said, I don't know what. He said, I think it was the devatas coming down to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Another one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers told me, the sannyasi, Dhammadomaraj. He was at the temple, before we had the temple. And he said the pujari came in with the offering and something fell on, the offering wasn't covered, the plate wasn't covered. And something fell from the door as he walked in onto the plate. He said, I noticed it because he was in the mat. He was in the mat since he was 11 years old in the jog pit. So he said, I noticed these things as a pujari. If I didn't say anything, it's after the arti and everything. Then he said, one little old lady came up just in white. She started heavying the pujari out. Why are you offering impure things to little Jagannath? Don't you know, why are you not covering the boga? There's animals around can see this. You must be more careful in the future. He said, there was no one there. He said, I was the only one there. So he says, you don't know who this lady was. in the dharm, there's extraordinary people walking around. We may not know who is who. Well, recently we were there, and one family, a mother, husband and wife, and their son, elder, they came, and we were discussing, someone was telling the pastimes of Lord Jagannath, and like she was just listening, completely amazed, how this, you know, telling how this place is not different from Puri, these deities are so, you know, same as Jagannath Puri. And one of the pujaris was talking to her, said, where are you from? She said, they come from Malda. So you come such a long way. She said, yes. She said, let me tell you something. In my dream last night, I wanted to go to Puri, to Rath Yatra, but I had no one could come with me. So I couldn't go alone, and I was really disappointed. And I was crying, and it was a... This was afterwards, after Rath Yatra. So I was really upset, and I was, or before Rath Yatra. So she was really upset because she wouldn't be able to go to Puri, and she was crying. And then in the evening, in my dream, I dreamt I came to Mayapur, and I was taking darshan of Radha Madhava, and I heard this voice, Mayapur, Mayapur, Mayapur. Then I woke up, and I told my husband, we should go to Mayapur today. So they just came down there, and then she's taking darshan, and she's talking to some devotee, and the devotee said, have you visited our Jagannath temple? She said, I didn't know there was. She said, yeah, go to there. She said, now I come up here, and you're telling me that this place is not different from Puri, so Jagannath is fulfilling my desire. Anyway, many, many, many more stories. We haven't published a book. There's at least, I think, about 24 stories. Jagannath Swami ki. Mai Bodham ki jai. Srivopada ki jai. Dalas Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Dai Gopramanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Yeah.